Blog Talk Radio.
Rap song, but I like it. He said, "Yeah." He goes,
out in the street, baby starving while they're carving brand names in their back. And it's really funny. Not funny, but and they say, power to the people. And that's what we're talking about. This thing might be recording now, so I'm just going to check it out. We got like 10 minutes. So what's going on with Bolton and Sochi and everything?
Yeah. So, Tim, anyway, look, hopefully this works out. I don't know if it will, but we'll proceed anyway. I just thought like the meeting during the week there with Mike Pompeo, the U.S. Secretary of State, going to Russia. Well, he canceled the trip to Moscow, and he ended up in Sochi, the Black Sea Resort, met President Putin and his counterpart, Sergei Lavrov, and they had lengthy discussions, several hours of discussions. And that's pretty good, outreach. I mean, you can't knock that. I mean, they're still working, and good for them. That's good. I mean, they should be. I mean, like these are like two nuclear powers. They should be talking and should be having a lot more meetings. But and Pompeo's body language and kind of like tone was, fairly cordial and receptive to his Russian host. But I mean, the one thing that kind of like jarred with me was that he kind of insisted that Russia should not interfere in U.S. elections. Again, he said it was a thing of the past, and I thought that was really disconcerting and disappointing. I mean, the whole thing should be dead by now. I mean, Mueller had his 3-year report and concluded there was no conspiracy and between Trump and Russia. And it's time to leave all that. I mean, it really is flogging a dead horse. So it's a bit disappointing that you have a member of the Trump administration still kind of like flogging this dead horse, And that suggests to me that there's very limited room for maneuver of really proper, productive dialogue whenever you've got somebody like the U.S. Secretary of State still persisting with this notion, this fantasy. And that's very, very disappointing,
Yeah, it is disappointing because, they live in a bubble and they don't understand what they do affects everybody. And I think they understand that, but they don't care. Lavrov is smart and Putin is smart. And they make allowances because they know that they're talking to a bunch of idiots. Yeah, but that's the way I look at it. And the United States can't push everybody around. We got to understand that. It's like you said, it's a multipolar world.
We were having that earlier conversation. The world is moving in the direction of multipolar and multilateral and interdependent. But the United States is stuck in a sort of a past, a past sort of paradigm where it has total control, and it's just not working. They need to move away from that and to embrace a multipolar world. And if they still persist in talking down to people and remonstrating with other countries about perceived infractions and perceived malign activity, it's just not going to work. I mean, and I think Pompeo really is kind of like a man of the past. I mean, if Trump really wanted to have a fresh start with Russia and enter into genuine, productive, mutual dialogue, that kind of mentality that Pompeo, can display, like condescending to Russia about some kind of fantasy about interfering in elections, that's really quite anachronistic. I mean, it's not going to move forward with somebody like Pompeo there,
You're exactly right. And why he picked John Bolton? I mean, this guy, he never saw a war he didn't love. And He's always looking for a war. And you know, these people are being paid by Raytheon and Boeing and all these other people, you know, that are interfering in our politics. And it's becoming a corporate-controlled government. And like, so what's that? That's the clear definition of fascism.
Well, I mean, the huge irony is that, you know, there's always allegations of Russia interfering in American politics, and the Israeli lobby all over the American government has been, you know, continually, and it's manifest the way, you know, the American policy of attacking Iran is very much influenced by Israeli mentality. And when you want to kind of talk about interference, foreign interference, that's where the focus should be, not on some kind of, you know, sort of imagined interference from Russia.
You know, I don't understand this love affair that we have with Israel.
Well, I suppose it gives the Americans, Washington, a foothold in the oil-rich Middle East. That's where it comes from, I suppose. And, Israel is just like a kind of a military, you know, kind of foothold in that vital region. And, they'll always pander and placate Israeli prejudices and Israeli, Israeli policy there. In order to give themselves Washington a foothold in a vital region. Then of course, layers of influence with lobbying of people in Congress with the Israeli lobby, money and all that stuff. So it's a bought for government and bought for policy, but it's sort of a quid pro quo. I mean, the Washington gets imperialist foothold in a vital part of the world. The Israelis get a carte blanche to murder Palestinians and pursue all sorts of like horrible violations. So it's
Israel is so bad that we have that they're throwing black Jewish people out of their country. I mean, you know, these people came to Israel because they're Jewish, and Israel's throwing them out. I mean, come on, can't people see that, you know, this is wrong, and that Israel's an apartheid state. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And if you say anything bad about Israel, they call you anti-Semitic. That's the big. It's just, and if you say anything that the government doesn't like in this country, you're a conspiracy theorist. And that's how that's a shield that they use. It's all about interpretation. It's all about what you read. Like, these people have to go to work every day, and then they. On the radio in their car, they listen to Fox, some right wing talk radio, and then they get home and they turn on CNN or Fox News, and they have no idea what's going on in the world unless they're off on a Saturday or Sunday, and they sit down and browse the internet.
There was a report that I read recently too, the fire that's really the fire dancing is really with the 9/11 attack. I can't remember who actually wrote this news article, but new evidence anyway that these do you remember that incident where there was these five guys and some of them were belonging to Mossad reportedly, and they were seen by local people in New Jersey. Celebrating as 9/11 was going down. I mean, the whole the whole 9/11 incident is very suspicious that there was some sort of a false flag event, and the Israelis, Mossad were were heavily involved in it now, and they're supposed to be like, you know, an ally of the US. And so, yeah, I mean, it's a very malignant relationship, you know, between the Israeli regime and the US government. And
you know what I can't understand? They had these people on a roof with cameras pointing towards the Twin Towers before it even happened.
Yeah. And when you go back to the 1960s, the U.S. Liberty was attacked by the Israeli military, and you know, American servicemen were slaughtered, and not no repercussions from that. So you know, I mean, there's a very pernicious kind of like quid pro quo between the American ruling elite, you know, the imperialist class, to kind of a you know, facilitate this really criminal policies in the Middle East, you know, turn a blind eye to it, support it, because the American imperialist class get a foothold in the oil rich Middle East. But I mean, for the ordinary Americans, I mean, it's a complete disaster to have that relationship, you know?
Yeah. And, you know, another thing I can't understand is that this oil business, they call it fossil fuels. They're not fossil fuels. But then you don't find the fossils 1,600 feet in drilling. You know what I mean? That there was no fossils that far down. So where does oil come from? They say oil is just a natural substance in our planet, and we'll never run out of oil. So this is all about control.
Well, I'm not really knowledgeable on that, but let's go back to Pompeo in Russia this week. I mean, I just thought it was really disappointing, you know, that he should come out with that nonsense about interfering in the U.S. election. I mean, like, I worked for Russian media, Tim, and maybe some of your listeners know that. I mean, I write for Sputnik and RT and Strategic Culture Foundation, and I'm telling you, I mean, the whole idea of Russia interfering in American elections is just complete nonsense. It's just a fantasy, paranoid fantasy. And even the Mueller report kind of indicated that. It's just a complete fallacy. I think, you know, you've said this a lot of times, that, you know, that the whole American election has become a dog and pony show, that, you know, there's no real choice. So people voted in Donald Trump like by default through repudiation and nausea of Hillary Clinton. There's no real choice, and they voted in this other character, and that's the explanation. Well, partly the explanation to the you know, strange, shocking result that Donald Trump got elected. Now, to try to transfer that, you know, explanation onto a Russian collusion or Russian conspiracy is just complete bullshit, and it's in denial of the internal problems, the political, social problems of America. You know, they're trying to, you know, displace the nature of the problem to some foreign boogeyman, and it's just been a complete, you know, fallacy charade, like, to try to blame it on Russia. So for Pompeo this week to go to Russia and still come out with this kind of nonsense, it really is quite disappointing that, you know, it doesn't say much for a real reset in U.S.-Russian relations, you know, because there's still, even the Trump administration, the very administration is sealed by this Russia collusion nonsense. You've got the top Democrat of that, the top diplomat of that administration still, articulating this rubbish. I'm sure Lavrov and Putin probably just scratched their heads in despair that, you know, this guy is kind of spouting this nonsense.
But, you know, it's not just him. It's mostly like outlets like MSNBC who keep pushing it. With Rachel Maddow, she's crazy as a bedbug. All she talks about is Russia, Russia, Russia. Meanwhile, The United States has overthrown governments in Guatemala, in Honduras, in Iran, and we've interfered in everybody's elections. And then somebody puts a couple of blog posts on Facebook, and all of a sudden there's an evil enemy that's trying to interfere with our elections. Give me a break.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody knows it's bullshit. Yeah.
Yeah. Well said. Look, I mean, it does get back to something like this. Look, you know, it's the internal problems of the UAS, the deterioration in this kind of like political system, where you've got two parties that do not reflect the ordinary people's concerns, ordinary workers, the poverty wages, the complete collapse in public infrastructure. That's the problem. It's the collapse of the American capitalist system. So, you know, to kind of explain like how somebody like Donald Trump gets elected, they have to reach out to some kind of like fantasy notion that, well, it must have been Martians from space that got him elected, rather than dealing with their own inherent problems of collapse and you know, the corruption of the political system. That's what I get down to. Right now, that reminds me of the guy, the journalist Aaron Maté, I think that's how you pronounce his name, and his father, Gabalon Maté, did a great interview there recently, and his father is a psychologist or some sort of like a psychologist, psychoanalyst, and he was talking all about that, the denial of reality, you know, the reality of internal collapse in the American system, and it's kind of displaced into some sort of, you know, foreign enemy, and that's where Russia then comes in as the kind of walk along, or the, you know, the convenient bogeyman. But really, it's all about like how the system itself, you know, the American political system has imploded, and it's so rampant in corruption and ineffectual politics. And that's what the issue is. Now, rather than focusing on that and really dealing with the inherent problems, internal problems that we're seeing in American society, not just American society, but European society, all capitalist societies, they desperately reach out, desperately grasping at straws, and you know, grab onto a Russian enemy, you know, to explain this, you know, very anomalous development where somebody like Trump gets elected, you know.
Yeah.
And for Pompeo to go to Russia and kind of spout this again is really quite, you know, disconcerting to say the least, you know.
Well, you know, the United States, what's happening is the people have lost confidence in the government. And a lot of them are just, you know, and this is the worst thing that could happen to a government, when people just don't care anymore. You know, they can't be swayed. They're very dissatisfied. You know, everything that they're facing is hurting them. Climate change is coming. They're not getting paid well. Nobody's doing anything about the big problems that are going on in the world. And people just, you know, it's going to get to the point where the government isn't even going to be effective. And if the United States had a thing like Britain where they could have a vote of no confidence, you know, that would just wreck this administration. Yeah.
Well, I mean, you know, the way, so many ways to kind of follow on from what you're saying there, like, it's a great point, you know, the collapse in confidence, the disillusionment. But that's where war is always a very real danger, you know, to try to, you know, galvanize people behind the flag, behind the government, to, you know, unfortunately, tragically, despicably, that's where war is always, you know, like a kind of an outlet for a collapsing society. And that's why we're seeing the emergence of so many potential wars, you know, and especially in the Persian Gulf with Iran. I mean, but it'll be a complete disaster if we do that. It really will be a disaster.
Oh, yeah. You know, Iran isn't Iraq. It's a big country. It's bigger than Texas. And, you know, the United States, I don't think, understands how many planes, new Russian planes that they got. You know, and they got even F-14 Tomcats. And, you know, they're just not a pushover. They got that S-400 air defense system. And, you know, if we went to war, there's going to be such a body count that it might spark a revolution in this country. Because nobody wants to war with Iran. They could give a shit about Iran. You know, and but the government keeps pushing it and pushing it. And they never say what Iran did. What did they do? They haven't done anything. We're the ones that pulled out of the nuclear treaty with Iran. We pulled out of it. And yet Iran is still sticking to their promises. So what the hell did Iran do?
Yeah. Well, you know, somebody pointed out that it's four times the size of Iraq. I mean, look at the disaster that Iraq inflicted on American, you know, debt and lives lost, you know, invalid soldiers, you know, health care bills. I mean, it just sent the American debt through the roof, you know, like, was it $3 trillion or something?
$21 trillion.
Iraq war itself, like, you know, added on about $3 trillion.
Oh, yeah.
You know, I mean, yeah, so Iran, like, four times the size of Iraq. I mean, it's much more formidably defended with missiles that take out U.S. Aircraft carriers. I mean, Iran will be the death knell of American imperialism if it's so critical to go for it.
And the death toll would be so bad, and it'd be such a crazy war, and they'd never be able to control Iran, never. And then we got another enemy in the Middle East. You know, meanwhile they put up with Saudi Arabia, that kills their citizens every day, chops their head off and stuff, and killed that journalist, Khashoggi, just killed him and then cut him up. And put them in suitcases. Yeah, and we all know that Bin Salman was behind it. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Yeah, I mean, you know, as you were saying there, the goal is, you know, really, you know, lurid allegations against Iran for sponsoring terrorism. I mean. But it's very much based on it's really a Saudi sort of information. I mean, look at the record of those two places. I mean, they've got 2 million Palestinians in their concentration camp, the Israelis. The Saudis, as you say, murder people all the time, you know, journalists and, just people protesting for democracy. I mean, these are the kind of clients that the U.S. or Washington is relying on for its information about Iran. It's just laughable. It's not really laughable. It's tragic. It's really terrible. Like, it's, you know. But yeah, I mean, the U.N. inspectors have come into Iran over the last 4 years after the signing of that JCPOA, the International Nuclear Accord. Over a dozen reports have verified that Iran is implementing the nuclear accord scrupulously. There's not absolutely, it's flawless, their implementation. So, I mean, the Trump administration has got no leg to stand on about its accusations, which are very much informed by despotic Saudi, head choppers and Israeli, you know, criminals, war criminals. So it really is a travesty that they're creating this problem towards Iran.
Yeah, and you know, it's such a hypocrisy. You know, they talk about Iran being a bad, bad country. Meanwhile, you know, Israel's a bad country. You know, Saudi Arabia is a terrible country. And, you know, I mean, I'm not saying all Israelis are bad. There's a lot of liberal, you know, left-wing Israelis, but they're outnumbered and they're outfunded. And you know, this group in, you know, what's his name?
Netanyahu.
Yeah, the Likud party. They're so far right, they might as well call themselves a Nazi party. And what it is you're abused as a child, right? If you grow up and you become an abuser, and that's exactly what's happening to Israel, you know. And they're abusing people, and so is Saudi Arabia. And meanwhile, we're all focused on Iran. What the hell did they do? You know? Except Slim and Mossad. Yeah, I mean Hezbollah. Yeah. That's what the problem. Go ahead.
Yeah. No, you're just picking a little bit, Tim. I didn't quite get everything you said there, but I got the basic point that it's just complete gross distortion of reality, and that's where our media are really despicably complicit. I mean, they just totally fuel this distortion of reality where somehow, somewhere like Iran is presented as an enemy, threat to national security, and, some sort of like despotic regime. And yet the American, Washington's closest allies are multiples more culpable of crimes and violations. And, you know, so this is like, you know, this is what we call propaganda and brainwashing, you know, so you perception management of the public. Well, I don't think the public are buying it, but the media are certainly trying their best to distort the reality of you know, what's really going on and who the American government are in alliance with, you know. And Iran, I'm not saying it's a perfect society, I mean, which society is, but they're certainly not the demon that the American mainstream media are making out, or you know, kind of like, you know, allowing the Trump administration to get away with demonizing, you know.
And you know, the thing is all these polls and all these things that the mainstream media says, if you go on YouTube and you watch, you know, commentators on YouTube like Jimmy Dore and Kyle Kulinski and all these other people and Chris Hedges, people are listening to that. They've cut, what they call it here is cut the cord. They don't even have cable TV anymore. They're not even watching those shows anymore.
Mm-hmm.
They're watching stuff on YouTube, you know, and reading stuff on the internet, you know. And they are getting wise. It's like a big wake up in the United States because of the internet. Even shows like mine, you know.
Yeah.
I'm nobody. All of a sudden, I got a radio show. People listen to it, and I could take this thing and I could put it on YouTube too. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Yeah. Agreed. It's a great liberation, and I hope the moves are to try to censor and black out, you know, sites like yours and alternatives on the internet. I mean, it's underway the establishment and the corporate culture is trying to police the internet and to, you know, close it down. I mean, that's underway, but you know. So far, like there are great freedoms and liberating sites and channels of communication like your radio station, like Jimmy Dore, who's very admirable at what he does. When I see his show, it's really liberating to see that kind of information and that kind of discussion. It's really heartening to see that there are American people tuning into it. And he's just one, but there are many others. So it's great, you know. And from an ending, so I think that's why a lot of this Russia collusion kind of conspiracy nonsense has come about, because, you know, to be fair to channels like RT and Sputnik and Strategic Culture Foundation, who I also write for, I mean, I think they've done a lot to push out debate and, you know, to really provoke sensible, intelligent conversations and, you know, ideas about international politics in a way that challenges the US and the European mainstream configuration or narrative of the world. And that's why the Russian media have come into a lot of vituperation, like, oh, they're infiltrating our society, they're subverting our people. It's not that the Kremlin is orchestrating any kind of like influence campaign. It's just that there's a challenge on the internet through alternative media like RT, like Sputnik, like Strategic Culture Foundation, like, you know, your show, like Jimmy Dore's show. The mainstream, the establishment just can't handle this alternative conversation, discourse that's going on through the internet. So to black it out, they have to, you know, demonize these alternative channels and call it Russian interference. You know, I mean, they haven't got around to describing that to you yet, or Jimmy Dore, but, you know, that's the basic underlying kind of, you know, sort of the mentality that's going on to kind of outlaw just alternative media.
Yeah, RT has a show called Redacted Tonight, and this guy comes on and he says, "Welcome to Redacted Tonight, a channel in Washington, D.C. with American correspondents and American people working it. It's called a foreign agent." And if you ever see Redacted Tonight, last week they had what's his name? The guy who runs it. What's his name, sir?
I don't know.
Oh, well, anyway, he had a show about a week ago, and it was so hard-hitting and so honest, and, like, I was just mesmerized. And, you know, it wasn't the last week's show. It was the week before. And he came out, and he just destroyed everything. And,
really?
Oh, yeah. This guy is so good on Redacted Tonight. You know, that's RT America. And everybody watches it.
And he's an American citizen, is he?
Yeah, an American citizen with American channel in America called a foreign agent, because RT is considered a foreign agent. And, you know, they shut down channels to carry RT.
Well, that's what this Russian interference allegation is all about. I think, you know, it's just they can't abide that there's an alternative challenging perspective. They've lost monopoly control over the narrative of, like, world politics, you know, and they have to shut down or delegitimize this, you know, alternative critical voice or voices. And so this is where this whole Russian interference comes into play. Tim, I mean, it's great that both from what you're saying that, you know, a lot of ordinary people are not buying into that kind of, you know, that sort of slander, and they're still open-minded and tuning into these alternative media, and that's great, you know.
Yeah, it is great, you know, and people need to hear the truth, and the only way the truth is going to get out is platforms like YouTube, you know, and the thing is, or Blog Talk Radio, or any of them. The thing is that, you know, people if they're right wing, if they're conservative Republicans, they don't listen to the alternative media. You know what I mean? And the only ones that are listening to these shows and stuff are people like you and me. And, you know, it's they're not getting out to the people who really need to hear it. But, like, but the thing is Redacted Tonight is funny. And, and he makes jokes about it. But what he says is just crippling. Like Jimmy Dore. I mean, he's worse than Jimmy Dore. And but he's funny. So people are entertained by it. So they listen to it. And even people who, you know, are usually, you know, they're brainwashed. They listen to it because it's funny, but yet they tell the truth. And now they're just starting to wake up. You know, even conservative Republicans say they're going to vote for Bernie Sanders.
Yeah, it's hard to be, you know, humor and satire to get your point across. You know, it's just such a good way to reach out to people, you know, rather than dry political critique, you know.
It's a show.
The situation is ripe for satire. I mean, it's so ridiculous. Like, as you say, like the American, well, sorry, I keep saying American, Washington, you know, have interfered in over 80 countries in elections since the Second World War. And a major one was in Russia in the 1990s, where they got this, you know, drunk, you know, asshole
Yeltsin.
Yeltsin elected, and they even bragged about it on Time magazine, like the Americans to the rescue or something. And yet they're turning around and saying that Russia interferes in our election. And you know, just come right on contemporary news. Like you've got Venezuela, where Washington is piling in there to interfere, and yet they're still kind of lecturing Russia about interfering in an election. You know, and there's no evidence even for that. I mean, as you say, like a couple of kind of like spam type, what do you call it, clickbait sort of operations out of Moscow or something. You know, to get a few advertisements. You know, revenue worked up,
like,
you know.
Yeah, well, I got a phone call. My brother just called.
But it is so right for satire. It's so absurd and hypocritical and, you know, completely insane. Like, the kind of an hypocrisy of you know, the Washington elite and you know, the Western elite, you know, about the Russian interference. It's just a joke, you know. I mean, it's not even, it's worse than a joke. It's just sick, you know, like these people who have, you know, inflicted genocidal wars over decades and caused millions of innocent deaths, and yet they're kind of like communicating to other people. So I think, like, you know, satire is really much appropriate, and it's a good way to reach people, because I think people, by and large, will recognize it, you know, for what it is.
Yeah, I think so, too. And, you know, these people are helping to change the world. And Aaron Maffei, I watch him a lot, you know, and I every time he puts a YouTube. But you know what they do is they demonetize their sites. So if people won't advertise on them and stuff, and they demonetize their sites, so even if they get a million, you know, people, they're not getting paid for it. And that, you know, but then they got this Patreon. If you want to donate to the shows, you can go on Patreon and become a member, and it costs like $10, and that goes right to the show. You know, and so they're getting around it in different ways. And Facebook isn't just they've only taken like 4 or 5 people off the air. You know, but they demonetize people. That's how they get them, you know.
I think it's as long as they don't actually black out the internet. I mean, the internet is such a, you know, fantastic resource of 10, like information clearinghouse, you know, so many great alternative sites that are fighting against the whole commodification of news and information and doing it really heroically. Like, I'll mention again, Information Clearinghouse, Tom Feely, who's been going for 18 years and putting out every day, almost every day.
I got to pick a bone with Tom Feely because I used to publish on Information Clearinghouse all the time. Now he just won't publish anything I write.
Well, I mean, I don't know. I can't say anything. You know, you have to take out with Tom, Feely. But, I mean, you know, I just mean to just focus on Tom and Information Clearinghouse. That's one example. There's many, Tim, many, so many. I don't know, Truth Out, various other people.
Truth Dig and Media with a Conscience and Countercurrents.
Yeah, Common Dreams. There's so many great alternative sites out there that are really challenging the whole mainstream narrative. And the mainstream narrative has been so dominant for decades since the, you know, say, Second World War. I mean, you know, they have the full control over depicting how the world was, whether it was the Vietnam War or the Iraq War. And they've lost that monopoly. They cannot, you know, promulgate their propaganda anymore. Their complete spurious bullshit about why they kill millions of people. And that's what's really getting them, I think. They just can't abide that there's this counter perspective that's coming from not only Russia, but say Press TV in Iran or within Europe and America, there's alternative media. They cannot abide this dissent, and they're throwing everything at that dissent to try to discredit it and to shut it down. And in particular, that's why the Russian media is being so vilified. You know, like RT, Sputnik, you know, it's nothing to do with Kremlin orchestrated infiltration. It's just to do with their narrative is being exposed as complete bullshit by, you know, genuine, you know, alternative, independent, critical reports or analysis. And in order to shut, you know, to kind of like block that, they have to then use like lots of, you know, slander and, you know, demonization, you know?
But, you know, Bernie Sanders went on Fox News and he had what do they call that? He went on Fox News and had a
debate?
No, not a debate. He had a what's the town hall? And Fox, everybody criticized him for going on Fox News. But yet, it was one of the highest rated shows that they ever had on Fox News. And Bernie Sanders just tore everybody apart. And Fox News, you know, broadcast it. And they say Bernie Sanders was wrong for going on Fox News. No, he wasn't. He let the people that watch Fox News know what's really going on. So I think that was a brilliant idea. Yeah.
Mm. Yeah. Was that recently or?
Yeah, well, it was a couple of weeks ago.
I think the whole idea of left and right is a wee bit kind of
passé.
You know, I mean, I think, you know, let's just focus on ordinary American workers that are hard pressed and impoverished. They're in work and they're poor. And, you know, that's, I think, like, up to now, this kind of like sort of definition of left and right. So you've got CNN and the Democrats and MSNBC, and then you've got on the right Fox News. And, you know, I think it doesn't apply anymore. I think, you know, everybody's just so oppressed.
oppressed by this oligarchic corporate capitalist system. That's where the dividing line should be. It's like the oligarchic oppressive system, the warmongering military industrial complex against everybody else. And I take your point about Bernie Sanders. I don't know that. I didn't know about that show, but I think you should reach out to everybody and try to not just kind of go with a kind of a preconceived notion about who's left and who's right. It's like try to galvanize as many working, impoverished, struggling citizens as you possibly can.
Against
the oppressive system.
They have people on Fox News and like Judge Napolitano and even sometimes what's his name? I forget his name. But they have shows on there that really criticize the government and criticize the system and say what's right and what's wrong. And then all of a sudden and what they're doing is I think Fox is going for a demographic that they're leaving behind that left right crap, and that sometimes they have brilliant shows on Fox, and because the guy who runs it, what is his name, Rupert Murdoch, or what's the guy's name, but he got thrown out, and it's being run by different people, and sometimes they have real news and real columnists come on and talk about real things, and that's what's good. Even Fox News, MSNBC, you can't listen to that. Nobody listens to that. And CNN, you see CNN when you're in the doctor's office or something. Nobody watches CNN, and the government is losing control. It's just like what you said: divide and conquer. You're left, you're right, you're liberal, you're conservative. I'm liberal, but in some things I'm very conservative. And it's all bullshit. It's just to keep people divided so they can't unify and get rid of these people.
Yeah. Oh, Tim, don't draw me into that. There's so much to talk about there, all right? I can't abide watching CNN, they just hate their condescending so-called liberalism, if they're called left-wing, I don't know, I'm just in despair, if that's what left-wing is about,
no.
Sort of identity politics, and all this kind of shite, when did they ever attack, imperialist warmongering and impoverishment of the masses of people by Wall Street and the Democrat fucking prostitutes that are sponsored by Wall Street. So their left-wing liberalism is so superficial and spurious and really just bullshit. So when they talk in the liberal kind of lefty kind of caring way, it just means nothing to me. They're just charlatans and cover-ups for the harsh reality of exploitation that's going on under the capitalist system. I mean, and the funny way, some of the most fresh voices that you hear are like people like Pat Buchanan, some of the stuff he writes on foreign policy is brilliant. He's supposed to be some kind of like right wing Republican. I don't know much about the guy, but all I can tell is when he writes about foreign policy and overseas wars, he's right on the money. That guy, like Pat Buchanan, he's far, far more plugged in and incisive than so-called left-wing people on CNN. We're in a kind of a contorted territory where left and right is kind of breaking down a lot, and the traditional kind of pigeonholing of left and right is a bit nonsensical. I'm still left in terms of I'm a socialist, anti-imperialist, but I think that takes in a whole lot of people who might be nominally on the right. ordinary working people that are struggling to get by through poverty wages. You know, maybe they've got sort of, you know, traditionally or, you know, historically sort of like affiliations to some sort of like the Republican Party or right wing views. But I think the dividing line is beyond that. It's to do with poverty and super rich and, you know, people who want to have a decent life as opposed to people who cover up for warmongers. That's kind of where the dividing line is, you know?
Yeah, and it's great. You know, it's great that people are finally getting information and there is no left. You know, there are 23 people running for the Democratic ticket, which is a good thing. You know, the more people we have to choose from, you know, the better it's going to be. And some of these people identify themselves as socialists. And socialism, the word socialism used to strike fear into American people because of Russia when it was the Soviet Union. And they grew up like that. They grew up afraid of socialism and communism. And now people are realizing that socialism isn't communism. It's not a tyrannical mindset. You know, and they're accepting the word socialist, and they're voting for people who identify themselves as socialists.
Yeah. Well, as we were talking before, Tim, before we started the recording, I mean, the American modern history, I know there's a horrible legacy of genocide against the Native Americans, but within the American evolution, you know, after that, where ordinary workers revolted and struggled for rights. I mean, it's huge, and it's absolutely phenomenal, you know, the richness of American workers struggling against corporate oligarchic, you know, oppression. You know, Haymarket martyrs, you know, so many labor struggles right through the years where people were bulldozed off the street by the cops for the factory owners. I mean, there's a huge heritage of workers struggling for justice, for socialism. And that was all very much like, you know, suppressed by the Cold War brainwashing that went on over the last 7 years, but hopefully the real noble tradition of American workers, families, ordinary citizens struggling for their rights is coming back, and they're beginning to tap into the rich, you know, historical, you know, heritage that there is there, you know, and so socialism is actually that's sort of put it in a way that might seem a bit controversial. Socialism is a very American idea. You know, the struggle for workers' rights and democracy, equality. It's always been there. You know, it's just been totally poisoned by the ruling elite who used the Cold War to completely poison that sort of culture, political culture. But I think it's coming back thanks to people like you, doing very bravely, doing your show, Chris Hedges, Jimmy Dore. So many people out there are there to resuscitate and to remind ordinary American people of the great heritage they have for socialist struggle, you know?
Yeah, and I just want to say that redacted tonight, the guy's name is Lee Camp. And, you know, he's on RT. And he's getting very famous. And then they got a new broadcaster on RT who used to be a broadcaster when I was living in Miami. What I can't remember his name. But he took over.
Sanchez.
Huh? Rick Sanchez. I've been listening to him for 20 years now, and he absolutely debunks so much stuff on his show, and it's not Russian propaganda. It's just what's really happening, and RT I think is one of the greatest outlets. RT right now is booming in the United States. People are listening to Archie like crazy. And you should talk to them about getting yourself a show.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I think I really do genuinely respect RT. You know, I mean, I write for them, and, you know, I mean, I wouldn't be writing for them if I didn't respect them. And, but, you know, to be honest, they never kind of interfere with my work, or they're not censoring or leading me to say things or whatever. I mean, the whole notion that some sort of Kremlin operation is complete, a fallacy. Like, you know, it's a great, debating site, and, you know, for alternative ideas on international politics. I think it's a very reputable site, and that's why I write for them. And they're very good people to work with. You know, very professional, pay nice money, pay you regularly. They don't mess around, and they give you great freedom to write what you want to write. And that's all. That's what it's all about as a journalist. You know, just give me the space to write what I feel, and pay me a living wage, and I'm doing it. You know, that's what it's all about. So it's a very cynical and very very cheap, you know, idea that, oh, you know, RT is a Kremlin operation, and people who work for it are puppets, and, you know, just like idiots or whatever, you know, useful idiots. I mean, that's just such a cynical and stupid way to depict somebody like RT. I mean, they're doing a great service to information and public knowledge about, you know, any international issue that's going on in the day, you know. And it's great that most people around the world that give it a fair hearing recognize that and tune into it, you know. I mean, you couldn't compare RT with CNN. I mean, I watch CNN most days, and RT, you know, well, their website, and you just couldn't compare. It's a completely different level of intelligent journalism. You know, CNN is just complete fucking bullshit. You know, it's just really condescending bullshit. You know, with agenda driven, and so fucking condescending and controlled. Whereas RT, you know, there is a genuine forum for exchange, or, you know, learning about different perspectives and critical information. I mean, you know, so it's I think it's a different class of journalism, you know.
I think they just blew the show here. I think they stopped the show. It doesn't say I'm on air anymore. So maybe we ran out of time.
Yeah. Tim, look, I hope you got something out of that.
I hope so, too. This is the first time I did it like this.
Yeah. Maybe it was because we were really fucking hammering CNN or something.
I made a mistake when I put the show on. And what I did was I made it for, we got 3 seconds. 7 minutes.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, we're still on. What I did was I scheduled this thing for 15 minutes, and
uh-huh.
If you go overtime, they still let you go. But we got right now, we got the clock's running out. We got 6 minutes and 6 minutes left, 6.5
yeah.
minutes. So anyway,
yeah.
I like this format, and I hope it comes out real well. Yeah.
Well, we'll see. Tim, look, I don't know. That's why I prefer writing. I don't really, you know, I prefer writing because you've got more time to think or formulate your ideas. I hope you got something out of this.
I did.
Your listeners got something out of it. But we said some things that maybe give people a little bit of, inspiration or encouragement. But anyway, look, it's great what you're doing. You know, like you're really doing a great job, Tim. And keep pushing it, and ideas and their critical ideas, and that's what it's all about, you know, isn't it?
It is. It's telling the truth. It's getting away from the propaganda machine that all these outlets are pushing.
Yeah.
And what's great is there's some people even on Fox that come out and actually tell the truth. And
yeah.
So, you know, it's all about the truth.
Yeah. And paradoxically, people like Tucker Carlson. And,
that's who I was talking about. Tucker Carlson. Sometimes he comes.
Buchanan, you know, Tucker Carlson, not that I am a great fan of him or anything, I don't watch him. But I mean, people, it's funny, like, you know, people like just on a normal right are actually more saying things that are more pertinent than so called left wing people. But when you say left wing, CNN, that's nonsense to me. And I don't see them as left wing, you know, only in a very superficial, you know, nonsensical way. But you know, the debate is. Just to have a debate, you know, just to get pushed to the truth, push critical thinking all the time, you know, and even the people in the past may be sort of associated with the right wing, but if they're saying the truth, listen to them, you know, don't close them off just because they're supposedly right wing or, you know, and yeah, so we're in new territory, Kim, it's all uncharted waters, and which is good, because that'd be the system's breaking down.
Yeah, it is. You know,
this is
I'm really looking forward to 2020, and I'm looking forward to, you know, see bills in Congress that eliminate this campaign finance, you know, and you know, get rid of this what do they call it? Something United, where the corporations are allowed to say anything they want.
Yeah.
And put as much money as they can into political campaigns. Get that money out of politics. Get those people. Get the corporations out of the news business.
Yeah, that's got to be top priority for reform or trashing. You know, because you can't have democracy when you've got, you know, that sort of warped sort of control power. That just is death to democracy, and that's why we've got this horrible system at the minute, where you've got two parties who really are two faces of Wall Street and corporatocracy. You know, that's why we've arrived in this, you know, completely despicable situation. So that's going to be broken down, but not just in America, but all around the world. You know, and we're getting there, Tim. We are getting there. I have no doubt about it. I'm a great believer in historical progress, you know, material progress. I mean, I just believe that we can do it with rationality and the good moral, you know, principles. We can get there. You know, we can evolve into a more humane, peaceful, rational, productive, you know, sustainable society.
Yeah, I think so too, and I'm really happy when I'm seeing the changes that are going on in this country, and you know, and people are people. I take Lyft and Uber a lot, you know, to get around, and I talk to their drivers. And this is South Carolina, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
I talk
mm-hmm.
to their drivers sometimes, and we get them subject to politics, and we don't argue. I know they're Republicans. I know they like Donald Trump, but they're rational. And
mm-hmm.
and this whole thing about, you know, what I'm saying about left, right, you know, liberal, conservative, it's all bullshit. It's all bullshit.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody
mm-hmm.
is the same. I've been all around
mm-hmm.
the world, and everybody I meet, you know, everybody I meet is nice, mostly,
mm-hmm.
for the most part. There's some pricks out there, but so everybody's really nice, and everybody wants the same thing. They want a roof over their heads. They want food for that family. They want to take care of their family. And it doesn't matter what country you're in. That's all they want.
Yeah. And, you know, most people are really, I think, associated with the underprivileged and the underdog. You know, people generally, in my experience, want people to have fairness and a chance in life. You know, I think most people are generous, kind-hearted, okay, there's a few ideological assholes who believe in superiority and all this stuff, but I think most people recognize justice, you know, want justice for others, and that's most of us, you know. And all we've got to do is kind of reform, create a political system, economic system that actually, you know, manifests those values. And I think most people are happy with it. Now, you know, the Cold War brought in a whole other kind of like poisonous mindset. But, you know, if we get past that and break that down, you know, we get back to the values, the good-hearted values that most people have. And I think that's where socialism is really a good prospect, you know, for most people around the world, and in America in particular. And I think we're getting there.
Okay, we just, they're not recording us anymore. So I'm going to have to end the episode.
You mean that you missed my finale statement?
Yeah, I missed that. I got it. We got it. You know, while you were saying it was going 5, 4, 3, and you got through it. You got through it.
Oh, shit. Yeah. I'm glad we persisted with that. We got the, look, from now on, let's just do that. I didn't realize it.